The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up, overcoming the shame that can trap you in a net.
I want to suggest to you that for many of us on this side of the camera, on that side of the screen, for many of us, the biggest net we have been in the course of our lives has been shame. It has been the net. It's what's kept us caught. And here's what can happen to us.
Getting out of the net, next on Life Today.
Thank all of you so very much, and we welcome you to Life Today. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I think you know what this day is. Wednesdays with Beth. We're talking about Beth Moore, and I believe you'll be mightily blessed to hear her. I want to mention that we've actually got some of her incredible inspiration in the great devotional book, Arise, along with many of our guests that have blessed you, and we are actually experiencing, I think, what we call one of the most exciting moments and times of the year, and that's when we give you an opportunity to not only have the spiritual refreshing water that the teaching that Beth Moore offers, but also to give literally fresh waters to people around the world who do not have it. And you are going to be able to answer the heart cry and the prayer of people who never dreamed that they would be able to enjoy what we take for granted. Now listen to Beth Moore as she's going to be teaching and talking about how we can be trapped, how we can literally be held in a net, and we don't need to be caught and trapped and held. We need to live free. Here is Beth Moore.
I want you to notice with me a couple of verses. Did you notice that it starts in verse 2 of Psalm 25? Oh, my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to... What word do some of you have right there? Shame. Let me not be put to shame. Indeed, verse 3 says, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. At the very end of the chapter, it goes back to it again in verse 20 of that same chapter 25. Oh, guard my soul and deliver me. Let me not be put to, what is that word?
Shame.
To shame. Did you know that shame is such a biblical concept? Something that the Word of God speaks so vividly over that it is mentioned first in Genesis chapter 2 and mentioned for the last time in Revelation 21. That means that only Revelation goes, you know, those are my two favorite now that I have a new Bible. I'm really into Genesis and Revelation. And only the first chapter and the last chapter, those would be the bookends, that ultimate way that we were called to live through the redemption of our God and His perfect plan is without shame. But some 150 times in between, it speaks about this thing that falls upon us called shame. I want you to think in very broad terms because somehow we, and this certainly applies, but we tend to put sexual sin on the top of every shame list. And certainly it has caused many of us, myself included, a ton of shame. So definitely, definitely keep it there, but don't let it sit there by itself. Because you know better than to think that that is the only way we can feel like we have been shamed. Shame can come socially. I mean, we don't have any idea, those of us who are in my generation, what our high schoolers are dealing with when they get broken up with on Facebook. They don't find out that their guy is seeing somebody else until they realize that they have been defriended and someone else is in. They'll find out they've broken up when there's no relationship status on that page. I mean, it's a whole new world. That social shame. I watched a program recently on the television about bullying, and the whole bullying process had taken place on a public blog. It was a high schooler. That is social shame, very real. Professional shame. You know what I'm talking about. Occupational shame. Financial shame. You can go through a bankruptcy that might have been brought on by all manner of thing, maybe a cataclysmic illness or accident. And there's just that shame. And we can feel shamed by our families, perhaps of origin. We can feel ashamed of our relatives. And what's really, really eye-opening is that right now some of our relatives may be ashamed of us in particular. And we can be ashamed of an old boyfriend. We can be ashamed of ourselves. We can feel shame over something religiously, vocationally. Maybe you feel shamed because you sort of publicly said that God had called you to ministry, yet nothing has happened yet. And that can bring shame. And we have to go back to the Word of God and see what happened in lives like Abraham, where we see how God worked over time, that the call very often well precedes the practice of that calling. Very, very often. But there can be shame wrapped up in it. Quitting something can cause you shame. Somebody watching today, somebody in here just like quit high school. And like you're now maybe 45 years old and you're still ashamed that you quit high school. Does that make any sense to anyone? Maybe it was college. And I started thinking to myself how much quitting can cause us, whatever it may have been that we quit. I want to say something to you today. Some things need quitting. Some things need quitting. Quitting is not always a bad thing, but there can be a lot of shame wrapped into it. I just jotted down in my notes that we all have an innate fear of bringing shame, and I believe that we all have an innate fear of being shamed. Do you think that's true? It's one of our primal fears. I've dealt with it a lot. You know, oh, it is a sad thing when you give the enemy as much ammunition as I've given my enemy. Because, listen, I mean, before I came out to serve you today, I listened to CeCe Winans sing on my iPod, Alabaster Box. Because I don't know if you know much about the lyrics to that song, but it's talking about the woman who comes in, the sinful woman who comes in and she just pours out the perfume in her alabaster box upon the feet of Christ because she's been forgiven. She's been forgiven. And there's a line that brings me to tears almost every time where she says, "No one knows the cost of the oil in this alabaster box." I'm so aware of where I've been. I've got chill bumps on me telling you about it. I've given the enemy so much ammunition, and before I do something like this, believe you me, he knows to play the card. And I have to be ready. I have to be ready with my scriptures. I've said a whole chapter of scripture within the last hours before coming out here from memory, just speaking what I know to be the truth of God's word, because I know he will harass me. There's just shame. There's just shame. Many of us know exactly what it's talking about. And I want you to look with me that the psalmist who wrote these words and asked God to not let him be shamed had been in tremendous sin. I want you to see it with me. A couple of verses speak it. I tried to emphasize it when I read it, but I want you to see it again, especially because somebody will have just joined in with us as we're talking about being plucked out of a net. Verse 7 says, "Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions." Then verse 11 says, "For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt." For what? Somebody tell me what it says. For it is great. It is big. It is large. There's another verse. Let me see. Verse 18. "Consider my affliction and my trouble. Forgive all my sins." So I want to show you that there is a difference between the two, because this is extremely important. The psalmist is admitting that he has been in sin, but he is asking not to be in shame. That's very, very important, because we compile those things. We mix those up like cake batter until we can't tell the difference. Listen, we have a Redeemer. Our Savior came to forgive sins. Yeah, the Son of Man, Luke chapter 5 says, the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. It's what he came for. And so we get to say, even though, Lord, my sins have been great, still, please deliver me from shame. I want to remind you today of what Hebrews chapter 12 says, that Jesus himself despised the shame. Listen, it's not humility if you're just like carrying around all your shame. Don't call that humility. Oh, no. That's not what humility is. He despises shame. He came to deliver us from shame. So here's what I'm pitching out to you, because you may be thinking, okay, what does this have to do with Annette? Well, because I am wondering if there are times when shame is the net. Do you think that could be possible? I want you to write down number 3. Shame can knot up, and I mean K-N-O-T, knot. I want you to think in terms of that, those threads knotted together. Shame can knot up an insidious net. Shame can knot, feel it just tying up a knot, can knot an insidious net. I want to suggest to you that for many of us, on this side of the camera, on that side of the screen, for many of us, the biggest net we have been in the course of our lives has been shame. It has been the net. It's what's kept us caught. And here's what can happen to us. We can have long since been delivered from the sin and still be in the shame, because we've trusted God for only half the work to forgive us, but not to deliver us. And so what happens, and the enemy has so much to gain, and I want to prove that to you. The enemy has so much to gain if we'll stay in that net of shame. Because what happens is this. Say I have repented over a long-term addictive area of sin, which I have certainly had in the course of my life. Say I've been delivered from it, and it was hard. Because, listen, for many of us, our addictions, I mean, they had their pluses. It was something that they did for us, and it was very short term, but it worked at first. That's why we got caught in it. And say I repented and I was delivered. And I want to say, for example, I want to use the area of sexual sin, because I think that this trap happens all the time. We will repent. We will literally have walked away from the behavior. But if we stay in the shame, we don't feel any better. Can someone go with me there? Here's what the enemy is banking on. We're going to stay in it long enough to go, you know what? I don't feel any better not doing it. I'm going back. We don't realize that it's not the sin. We've been delivered from the sin. We're still standing in the shame. We're still standing in the shame. It's a net under our feet. And so what happens is we just go back, because we think, you know what? I thought it was going to feel better. I don't feel better. If anything, I feel worse. Well, why? Because the enemy's just working that shame and working that shame and working that shame. I jotted down this. Shame is Satan's laughter morphed into a human emotion. I don't know. I don't have a scripture to really like completely confirm that. But I just started thinking, if we were to think of how Satan's laughter could become a human emotion, it would be our sense of shame. Psalm 25, 2. We've been in Psalm 25, verse 2 out of the New Century Version, says it this way. Do not let my enemies laugh at me. Laugh at me. Listen, anytime you are in a net of shame, your enemy is laughing at you. Because it is his big thing. It is his big thing. I need to know, is anybody just resonating with this? I want to know that somebody out there, you see the difference between sin and shame. Because that's what the psalmist is talking about. Deliver me from the shame. Okay, what I hope to show you is that what the enemy is intending with every single shroud and net of shame he casts on us is to keep us from looking up. Hold something here in Psalm 25 and go with me to Luke 21. Luke 21. I want you to look at verse 27. Luke 21, verse 27. It's talking about at the end of this age when Christ Jesus returns and every eye will see him. Every tongue will confess that he is Lord. And it says, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Verse 28. Now, when these things begin to take place, straighten up. Everybody say straighten up.
Straighten up.
Straighten up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near. Straighten up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near. Now listen carefully because I'm going to talk conceptually here. When Christ is desiring to reveal himself to us, because that will be the ultimate revelation, every eye will see him. But the concept is also true that he so wants to reveal himself to us. He so wants to show us that he's at work in our lives and to reveal himself in all manner of ways through his word, through our circumstances, through people that he places in our lives. He wants to reveal himself to us. But if we're looking down, we're going to miss him. We're going to miss him. And shame makes you look down. Do you know that some of us, do you know that even your posture can be affected by your shame? You deal with it long enough and it literally will bend over your shoulders. What happens is that when you and I are standing in a net, once we realize it, then we are obsessed with looking down at it. Would anybody say that that's true? Like, I got to stare down because that's where the net is. When biblically what the prescription is, look up. The way out is not because we're doing all this, because we're just scooting our feet against that net. We're doing everything we can to get ourselves loose because all our attention has now gone to the net. And he said, look up, straighten up, raise your head, for your redemption is drawing near. Your redemption will only come when you are looking up. Amen. So I don't care how deep you're in. You may feel like that net has come all the way up around your neck. Just lift up that sweet head and say, Jesus, come pluck my feet out of this net. And that is number four. The Lord will pluck your feet out of the net. The Lord will pluck my feet out of the net.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
Well, that's my prayer. Let me just pray that for you. Father, I pray that you will lift, literally pluck anyone's feet out of the net, out of any grip, anything that holds them, limits them in their liberty and freedom, that you gave your life and raised your Son to live in us in order that we might be free. In Jesus' name. I want you to always remember the telephone number that's there is for you to call for prayer. It's paid for by love. You know, Betty, there are times of the year when we celebrate our freedom. We celebrate our independence. We thank God for it. I want you to always remember this. It didn't come cheap. It came at a great cost. And the same is true with the freedom that we have in Christ. The price was paid. Salvation is free, but it's not cheap. And we were redeemed, not with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of the Lamb of God, who was literally slain for us, died, took the wages of sin in order that we not have to pay those wages. We have an opportunity right now to really be a part of an undeniable miracle. I want you to just watch, but know this. What you see, the challenge, the need that is so obvious that anyone would say, I'd like to have an effect on that. I'd like to do something about it. This is something you can have everything to do with changing. Watch closely. Well, Betty, those mounds of dirt represent a dream that's gone, all because no water, no clean, non-contaminated water source. I'm asking you to do what viewers like you have told us, and Betty and I can certainly concur and agree. They don't ever do anything they find any greater joy out of participating in, and that's giving people a fresh, clean water well, a water source, that literally is a gift that we make that just keeps giving for a lifetime. We are really targeting 350 areas, and you say, how do you find the areas? Well, our attention on those areas is literally focused by missionaries who planted their life in the midst of that suffering. And in love, they come to us because we have expressed a desire to help meet needs, and they know that the viewers of life today want to make a difference outside the world they live in and impact positively someone else's world. They live beyond themselves. In other words, the river within is released to freely flow, like Jesus said it's supposed to. And in releasing the river, we find life by giving life. And so they come to us and they say, would you drill a well in this area? We've got an area of tremendous need, and it'll just change everything. And so we've targeted 350 areas. Now the average cost, and we're praying it'll stay at this level with the petroleum increases and energy costs and gasoline costs, diesel costs, we don't know how long it'll stay there, but right now we're being assured we can drill the wells for an average $4,800 each. A well for $4,800, you perhaps could give a well. Many people say that's one of the great joys of my year, I give a well. Some people said I made it one of my dreams to give a well. I worked hard. We got children who go to work and start doing little things to raise money, and they do it. We got classrooms that do it, and churches that want to do it, but mainly, we got individuals and couples that say, I can do it. And there'll be somebody I know who tell us, well, I can't do a whole well, but I can do part of a well. And they'll give 1,200 and start praying, God, give us three to join me. And we got a well. So if you can do that, we're asking you to make that gift. But keep this in mind. This is how it breaks out. A gift of $48 gives 10 people water for the rest of their life. Now, that's just a gift that just keeps on giving. $144, and you've given 30 people water the rest of their life. There is some level at which everyone can participate, and that's the joy. Would you dial the number right now, take your bank card, use it like a check? Would you do that? If you can give a well or part of a well or make that gift of $48, $100 or more, whatever you can do, if you make a check, make it to Life, but call us and tell us what you're made of. You can go online, lifetoday.org, make that gift immediately. We've got some special gifts that we want to send you to inspire you, a devotional book, a study that will inspire you. We always want to bless you, but you are the greatest blessing because you are changing everything for people when you give them clean water. Please make that life-giving call and that special gift.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice: drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. Suffering can end because clean water changes everything. With your gift today, we can establish and drill 350 new water wells for remote villages in 12 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people, $72 will impact 15 people, and $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, be sure to request Arise, a beautiful new daily devotional featuring words of encouragement from inspiring women who have shared their faith on Life Today. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the Arise audio-visual devotional featuring 40 days of inspiration from Life Today's favorite women guests. Please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and be sure to request the 2012 commemorative bronze sculpture, The Lion and the Lamb. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
I do want to remind you that you can get the wonderful devotional book, Arise. If you would like to have the audio and video devotional series, just remember we're asking you to make that special gift of $100 or more toward the water wells, and you know they're $4,800. Remember this. There's some of you who tell us that that's one of the most special things I do every year is drill a well. I've been asking God to let me do it. I know He will. There are others of you who say, well, James, I'm going to have a part in it. And remember this, your gift of $1,200, pray for three more to join you. We got another well. Whatever you can do, don't consider it too small. It's important. $48. 10 people water the rest of their lives. We want to bless you with these gifts, but you're going to give the greatest gift you're giving life. Thank you so much for doing it.
Faith, family, and freedom are under attack. James Robison and Jay Richards encourage a divided America to stand together before it's too late. Indivisible, now available in paperback at online and retail bookstores. Next week, Joy and Tate Cruz walked closely with God while their son battled cancer.
Why did you heal him with the first cancer for him to get a second one?
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.